Hello and welcome to another episode of The Biscuit. It's me, William, Cody, Bartram, your host. Very, very excited about today's episode. One of my favorite people in the entire world, one of my heroes. And this one, we're not going to do too much hockey talk at all, really. But as you guys know, I played in a death metal band called Artillery Breath for like a decade. You probably never heard me talk about it. Joking. But along those travels, I met a bunch of awesome people, and today is one of those people, Andy Horn from several bands. We'll get into it. But yeah, so if you're looking for hockey talk today, go ahead and see yourself out. This one's going to be pretty much heavy metal and partying. And speaking of partying, let's talk about Hairless Ape Conspiracies, the kings of the party. Head over to hairlessapeinc.com. Check out their gear, hoodies, back patches, shirts, stickers, all kinds of rad shit. Use the promo code BISCUIT10 at checkout. Save yourself 10% off. You're welcome. Also, head over to War Road, TJ Oshie's company, high-quality hockey apparel for today's hockey player. But they've got everything. They've got fucking golf pants, backpacks, water bottles, butt plugs, all kinds of shit. So go over to War Road, tell them the Biscuit sent you, go follow them. Go follow them on all their social media. And everyone at Parker's Platoon would like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. And we are always happy to be working with Parker's Platoon. That's Stanley Cup champion Scott Parker's nonprofit organization to help one veteran at a time, specifically designed to help wounded combat veterans. If you can't get behind that, I'll get behind you. And you know what I'm going to do. And last but not least, 22J Off-Ice Clothing, a young gentleman from the UK who has aspirations of being in the NHL one day, realized he's going to need some money for hockey camps and shit. So he started his own hockey apparel, t-shirts, hats, polos. Go buy something from the kid or go donate him some money. Help him out. That's 22J Off-Ice. They'll be tagged in the episode details. And as always, we are brought to you by HockeyFights.com. That's HockeyFights.com, where you go to watch hockey fights. Ladies and gentlemen, Andy Horn.
Now Probert got the right hand. He's loose with the right hand, and he starts to retaliate. And down goes Nyland, and the two of them are hammering each other.
Knights of Columbus, that hurt.
It's old time hockey.
Enforcer of all hockey podcasts. It's The Biscuit. It's The Biscuit.
Damn it! Their school regulations signs are what?
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts.
God help the fucking day if fighting's ever banned. As a country will stop working on some Batman's fucking can.
Hi, everybody. It's The Biscuit Podcast.
Hey, you want to go? Yeah, okay. Good luck, man.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, today is a very special day for me and everyone over here at The Biscuit. I've got one of my favorite people in the world, a hero of mine, Andy Horn. He's a frontman god. Some call him the new Lemmy. He's a husband, a fucking DJ, and a ripper of brains. How are we doing, buddy?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We'll just get this question out of the way. You know what hockey is, right?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Okay, that's all we need. That's going to be all the hockey talk for today, guys. How have you been, man? I haven't seen you in a very long time.
I've been doing really good, thanks. Yeah, just plugging along, trying to adjust lifestyle stuff, you know, to 2020 and how weird that's been. But it's actually been a pretty cool year for me, and trying to keep plugging away at a lot of music and just keep busy with that stuff. You know, you're locked up, so you might as well make stuff happen.
Yeah. I mean, you did make it happen this year, man. Two of my favorite albums of the entire year with, you know, Loud Nights, Mind Numbing Pleasure, and then the Ghastly Graven Grimoireless.
Yeah, Ghastly Graven and Grimoireless. Thanks, I appreciate that.
Us Battlemaster fans have been waiting for that album for a decade, it seems like.
Yeah, we creep along at a slow pace sometimes, but I'm glad to have it finally out. And thanks for the kind words on the records.
Well,
badass intro too.
It had to feel good to get that record out, man. You guys, you know, you work at a pace that works for you guys. You all have different lives. You know, I know exactly how that is. I mean, even for us, Artillery Breath, we have an album out right now. Well, it's not out, but we're waiting on one guy to finish fucking solos. So it's like, what can you do? I can't go play it for him.
Nope. You got to work at whatever pace you can. And I think that's the downfall of a lot of bands that try to chug along, is like getting frustrated with a guy or a couple guys, or not moving at the right pace for everybody. And, you know, they eventually get fed up and try to find greener pastures. But Battle Master's always kind of been like, you know what, we're just going to plug along. We're not going to get in that kind of frame of mind, and we're going to just make sure we get everything knocked out when we can.
Well, that's the best way, I think. If you're in a band, you guys got to be upfront with each other, because, or you'll get salty guys who be like, well, fuck, I wanted to do this full time, but the four other dudes are going, hey man, I just want to cut a record when we can, maybe go play some weekends and whatnot. So I guess exactly, that's where honesty is the best policy with all that.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I think that's where the Breath fell victim to not being able to get it together, because everyone was full bore at different times. Like, so early on, I was like, I'll kill people to get this band to go. And then as I got on, I got married, I had more kids. It was like, I like doing this, but guys, I can't take a week off, or I can't pay my mortgage.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we were making, you know, $50 for the show, free beer, and selling some t-shirts.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Any money. Be real, we're playing underground metal. Nobody's making any money.
Well, isn't that – do you get those questions from people who don't really get it when you're in a band? Like, oh, you're a touring band? Like, you live in a mansion? You got a fucking F-150 or
– Pretty rarely at this point. But, I mean, towards the beginning of, seeing family that I rarely see, or going to weird, you know, holiday parties at a young age where it's like haven't met some, ding dong before, somebody just doesn't get it, and they're like, think that sort of thing. But I swiftly bring reality down on them and explain politely that that's definitely not the case.
Like, yeah, dude, have you ever slept on some stranger's basement floor while like their weird roommate's staring at you? That's what touring in an underground metal band's like.
Try it out.
But you really gotta love this shit. But then they go like, oh, you guys are on iTunes, you must be fucking rolled in bank. I'm like, look at me, dude, does it look like I have anything?
Yeah, not hard.
So now, playing this year with putting records out and not being able to really hit the road, I would assume, what's that like?
I don't know. At first, I think for everybody, it was kind of like, what do I do? And, you know, I feel lucky that I was in the position I am in, where it's not my primary source of income by any means, buddies and other bands that like really just rely on this exclusively, like playing live shows and the music they put out. And I wasn't, of course, in that boat. So I feel lucky that I could easily kind of pivot from, playing occasional local shows and a small tour here and there, just easily pivot to, all right, cool, time to make a bunch of music since we're, you know, locked in our houses for the most part. No live gigs. So let's make, let's make music. It's time to make the donuts, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think right now, Ronnie and Eric and I were talking about, we have one song that we wrote that we never recorded. And I was like, well, shit, now it's the perfect time. We all know that you can record yours, send it to me. Because back then you wanted to get in a room together and do the band shit, you know, be together, make the record.
That's the camaraderie aspect that's like really appealing to me and to a lot of people that do this sort of thing. Like, you know, since you're not going to be making any money, of course you want to get in the room together and hang out.
Yep.
It's like carving out time for, you know, you time.
Yeah. Well, that was always my favorite part of being in a band, was it's like, dude, if we can just play live, I'm fine. Like, I didn't really necessarily dig practice, and I hated recording to the ninth degree, but if I could get together with like 40 like-minded people and just have a party one night, it was literally some of the best times I'll ever have, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And it was, but now it was like, well, I do want to get that track out, because it feels, we wrote it. It's like almost like a kid that we have, like people under the stairs, like the dude locked under the stairs. Like, let's get him out. Let him get some sun on his skin. Now,
absolutely.
So you're in Richmond, right?
Correct. Yep. Richmond, Virginia.
Are you guys complete lockdown? What is it like down there right now?
I mean, it's kind of, I think overall Virginia's probably got better numbers than a lot of states do. It's not too bad here as far as like COVID cases, but it's also not too good either. I mean, generally speaking, I feel like just being in kind of a more metropolitan area, I mean, I don't have any good reason to be out and about, and I'm of the belief that it's pretty clear that you should not go out and do stupid shit.
Right.
For the greater good, let's just get it over with. The more people adhere to what they got to do in order to, like, kind of stop the spread of this thing is just, you know, wait it out till the vaccine and hope that that does pretty well. So I've been, you know, really fortunate to be in a position where I was a waiter before all this. And, you know, I got furloughed. The place I worked at was, it was an awesome place and I love it. And I hope to eventually go back, but it's really, generally speaking, it's like the worst place that should be open during a pandemic. And they're smart enough to know that. So they've just been doing to-go food the whole time. But, I kind of had to look for another gig and I was lucky to find a work at home, computer job. So now, you know, go out to get groceries and that's about it. Go on a lot of hikes and whatnot with my wife. And you know, I'll occasionally, I live a couple doors down from a few bandmates. So we'll do like a campfire every once in a while. But other than that, yeah, I'm happy. I'm happier than a pig in shit just being kind of in my little fortress. And
well, I'm glad to hear that, man. Well, I think a lot of people on the, not autistic, the artistic spectrum of the world don't mind being locked. Like, if I can stay in my house with my family, my kids, my wife, dude, as long as the kids leave me alone, I get my wife butt naked sometimes, I'm fine, dude.
I mean, I would be, even like without the internet, I think that I would be pretty gold for a couple months just at my house. I mean, so many books to cut, you know, I just hoard stuff sometimes and I've been going through my old comics, my records, you know, it's just fun to revisit all formats of media. And, it's important to get outside and do things, but, and it's definitely a swift, it's like hitting a brick wall as far as not being able to go out and do that stuff, which I enjoy. But, I don't mind it. I could handle this piece of cake, another year of it if need be.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a fucking freezer full of deer meat. I'm good to go. I'll be all right, man. But it was, I think when you say like the internet aspect of it too, I think a lot of people started losing their minds over that. And I even stopped the podcast for about a month when I was about to have you on probably about a month ago or so. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't get motivated to do it because I would get online. I'm like, man, fuck, this sucks. So I just took a break, re-energized, and I've been fucking, I'm hitting the ground running now. And if I start reading negative shit, I just get offline.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it kind of coincides with the seasonal change too. I mean, it's not back to normal yet and probably going to be a ways before it is. But yeah, once it starts getting cold out, I always kind of fall victim to like a week or two of like, oh Jesus, what's going on? What am I even doing? But that you just got to, at least for me, keep that in mind that that's just the change of season. And this is a unique year as far as that goes. So
do you all get snow down there?
No, we don't have anything that sticks. Supposedly it's going to get, you know, we'll get some snow this year, according to the Almanac, but I don't know about all that. So
we just got pounded, dude. It's absolutely beautiful outside.
I know. I heard. Yeah. Everybody, but I think we're like the northernmost spot that didn't get hit, but
yeah, it's absolutely,
well, you're making the best of it.
Now, I know you, but I don't know a lot about you, so I'm kind of excited to get to talk to you here. Now, did you grow up in Richmond, or are you part of the magnet that?
Yeah, I've been here about 18 years. I'm the youngest of a family of all military folks. So the last stop on my dad's list was the Pentagon. So I grew up in Northern Virginia.
Holy shit.
And then I was like, where am I going to go to school once I get out of here? And Richmond was full of freaks at the time. It still is.
Still is, yeah.
Yeah, really weird spot because of the art school. It was a good, weird spot for music. And that immediately I was just drawn to like, all right, time to get out of this weird suburban rat race of Northern Virginia in the D.C. area. And I came down here and never really looked back. I mean, I go to visit family, but not a huge fan of being up there. And to each their own, but I'm very much happier down here. It's cheaper and easier to get around, and it feels like there's a lot more stuff going on.
Well, DC's crazy, man. I don't mind going there and playing shows and looking around because of all the historic shit, but people are really intense in DC, and it's hard to get around in DC too. So I don't mind. I don't mind leaving DC anytime. Or we usually play like Silver Springs, but
yeah, Silver Springs, great. Yeah, that's, just right on. It's like on the border. At least there was that place called the Corpse Fortress that used to do house shows there, and that was like literally
you could like throw a baseball to DC, right? DC.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, the Corpse Fortress was fucking sick. That was a good place. Yeah. So you're CIA then, right?
What, CIA?
Yeah, because your dad military. You guys are at the Pentagon. You're sort of CIA secret agent.
I am a sleeper agent. Yeah, we're working on working on some Scorpions-esque, subversive, anti-communist, phantasmagorical metal album.
The Aliens record.
I never. That's not for me. None of my family, they were all like, hey, if you go in, don't go Army, go Air Force, you'll get paid the same, but you stay in a hotel instead of a tent.
And you said
they were always cool with me not doing military, but I'm the only one that's not. My mom was the nurse to my dad in Vietnam, and that's how they met. And
then I've got shit.
Active duty.
Dude, that's wild.
One that's reserve now, but both were active duty for quite some time.
That's like my dad, grandpa, uncle, older brother. Well, you know how it is. I mean, we're in a small town. There's not a lot of options for dudes, so you join the Marines.
Whether it's like ROTC or just – I mean, they do offer a ton of opportunities for people joining up. So I think both my brothers are proud of doing joining and working hard with them. But also, like, I think retrospectively, they're like, why did I go – infantry? I could have just gone Signal Corps, maybe learned other skills that would be cooler getting out. But overall, I don't think they'd change anything about their lives. And I don't know, I'm proud of them. I know they're good dudes, and they work really hard.
Is your dad an intense military dude, or was that your upbringing?
No, he's like the carefree, like Wild Bill type. He likes almost like Tim the Tool Man Taylor with the like more firepower. That's kind of his mantra, And he's actually always been, since he was a little kid, he was really into military and military history. So he's still a very much an active and avid collector of the of militaria. And I think he enjoyed his entire time in the service, but was glad to be in the private sector, after 30 years.
So does he get into like the Civil War shit too? Because there's got to be loads of stuff around you guys down there.
Yeah. There's a lot of cool battlefields you can visit and museums. He's into Civil War, and he used to do a fair bit of Civil War reenacting. But I think primarily collecting wise, he really likes like World War One and Two, just firearms, uniforms, patches, pins, equipment.
Dude, for whatever reason, and you'll know this because I'm sure you've watched all the Lemmy documentaries that I have too, but that Nazi shit, just there's something to that memorabilia where it looks so – it's so different than it. And maybe it's just because we know what it is, but that shit's crazy to actually see and look at. And when people have it, you're like, God, dude, that feels like it's got to have a ghost on it or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole can of worms right there. But, yeah, a lot of uniforms have a lot of I don't know. It's interesting to see different things from around – different parts of the world and different time periods and the technology involved and just kind of like how everything outside of the military history affected what you do see when you look into the military history. There's certainly some iconic things out there that are, I'm sure plenty more generations are going to instantly recognize certain aesthetics and vibes.
So does he have a whole like collection of shit, like a basement or like a like a room of all his memorabilia, or is he just got stuff hidden away like, don't touch my shit, Andy?
Yeah, well, growing up it was a basement because we had to live in suburbia, but he eventually moved out to a farm out in rural Virginia, and it's much more of like a sprawling collection of just everything. Like he's got like a 42 Ford Willys Jeep. It's like the Jeep that won the war. And he's got a couple towed pieces, French 75, or I think it's 75, not 76. Like the drink.
Yeah, yeah.
familiar. And, you know, just a couple other, you know, artillery pieces. He really likes ordnance a lot. So he gets pretty nerdy about fuses and shells and all the sights, bomb sights and things like that. So, yeah, he's pretty all over the place with his specific interests as far as military goes. But now he's got a pretty large collection.
People get pretty wild about work in progress. People get pretty wild about those Willys, man.
Yeah, they're neat. I wish it was easier to always keep it running, but right now I think he's having to replace the gas tank. So
does he do that shit on his own? Is that something you picked up from him? Because you have like you're a musician and artist, but you'll get under the hood a little bit.
Sometimes, I mean, pretty minimal stuff. I just try to like maintain the band vehicle and you know, my own. Just, you know, save myself a buck or two whenever I can by doing it myself. But yeah, I'm no whiz with the stuff, but I'm always interested to learn more. And I feel lucky. I've always had roommates that, you know, whether they're like a carpenter or a mechanic, I always try to look over their shoulder when they're working on something so that I can get a free lesson here and there.
Oh, absolutely, man. That was like Ronnie's dad was a mechanic, Ronnie Miller from The Breath. And, so he knows shit when, like, it, that you wouldn't think he does looking at him. You're like, oh, this skinny fucking long-haired kid doesn't. But, dude, he'll can fire up a dirt bike and ride a wheelie down the street or, like, change
it. Oh, sure.
Dude, he gets pretty buck wild with that, man.
Yeah. He's a smart dude. He's a funny dude, too.
Oh, yeah. Ronnie's the best, man. Now, as a kid, I'm assuming one of your older siblings got you into heavy tunes because that's what got me.
Sure. Yeah. I have a pretty vivid memory of one of my older brothers. I guess, like, if there was a defining moment of like when I got into heavy metal. I don't know the exact age, maybe like, I don't know, 8 to 10. But I remember my mom saying, hey, go upstairs and get your brother for dinner. And he was probably like 15 or 16. And he was, you know, peak angry teenager, rage mode. And, I went upstairs to get him and peeked through the door, you know, and there was Master of Puppets was blasting and he was lifting weights.
Yeah.
And he was like, what? You know, I was just like looking like, what? And like listening. And he was like, what? And I was like, Mom says dinner's ready. And he's like, I'll be right down. Shut up. And
the dishes are done, man.
Yeah, and he was like, dun, 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 dun. And I was like, ah, all right, cool. And, you know, pretty soon after, I started lifting CDs from those two, my older brothers, and just taping them and putting them back because they didn't want me to touch their shit. So, yeah, that's how I got into metal. And they're not really metal dudes now. They really, you know, they keep up with whatever I've put out, and occasionally they'll try to show me something new, like, you know, AC, you know, the Deece has a new record out, and it's like, yeah, man, AC/DC is still keeping it real. Which it is. I really do like that new record.
I didn't listen to it. I was afraid of it. Is it okay?
No, it's good. Yeah, they did a good job. I mean, all things considered. But yeah, I mean, they're not really keeping up with metal, especially not extreme metal.
Yeah, well, that was like, you know, for instance, my brother, I remember I have that same kind of moment, though. I went downstairs at grandma's house. My older cousin and my brother had headphones on and they walked away to go chug a Fresca or something like that. So I put them on and it was White Zombie, like the chick having the orgasm. And I was like, fuck is this?
That's wild. What on earth am I listening to?
And my little third grade brain, I'm like, somebody's hurting this lady. Like, and then the music, the music kicked. And I was like, holy shit, like, I like this. But like, it's kind of the same thing, though, because that's where my brother stopped as far as heavy music was. He was fine with Metallica, White Zombie, you know, Rammstein. And I was like, no, I need more. So I kept digging and digging and digging. And then we got a foreign exchange student from Germany when we were freshmen. And he was like, oh, everything you guys listen to is bullshit. And basically just changed the whole ass. Like, he's like, here's Anal Cunt. Here's, you know, at the time, Dimmu Borgir and all these bands that we had no idea, dude. The internet was barely a thing at that time. So if you couldn't find it at, you know, Sam Goody or FYE, you couldn't. We didn't know what the fuck it was.
Mm-hmm.
So thank God for that guy, man.
That was kind of like a big thing for me, too. Like the bridging the gap between like figuring it out, you know, without internet and just – trying to sort out like the bridge between Metallica and then like something greater than that. And for me, it was visiting Europe when I was a lot younger, and just ending up in some sort of CD store in Berlin, and just bought, I think I got like a group of CDs. I got like the King Diamond, the Bellwitch EP, which is a really weird first King Diamond thing to get. I got Gwar, Scum Dogs of the Universe. I got Sacred, forgot what record it was, but Sacred Steel, one of their records, which that shit is super sick if you haven't, if you like power metal and haven't checked that out. But
I'll write it down. I don't think I know Sacred Steel.
Yeah, that's a very unique singer for sure. Acquired taste, but yeah, it's killer speed metal. I got that, and then some other like Metal Blade stuff. I think I got I hadn't gotten the Cannibal Corpse record yet, but I think I got some sampler with them on it, and that blew my mind. And yeah, so I mean, yeah, the bridge moment when you get your first stack of like real freaky stuff, that's really cool and pivotal.
I feel like it's when I got my pubes, dude. Like I heard like those bands for the first time, and like I was like, oh, this, like my brain was like, click. Like you're alive,
I have
dude.
Three hairs around my nipple.
Yeah, yeah, I'm yeah. The simulation was like, dude, you're alive, man. Wake up! You've heard fucking music for the first time. Well, it's like my mom will be like, well, doesn't that make you angry? I'm like, no, I think that says something more about you than me because I just fucking like it. It's music to my ears.
Yeah, and you're like, who are like? It's hard to even like look back and put myself in my like headspace of like listening to like Cannibal Corpse and being like imagining what am. Like what's making this sound, you know, like I know it's people, but you don't think about people when you're that young. You're just like, whoa, it's like just a dude, like since to burn, you know, it's just like crushing, you know, it's so out of this world, the guitaring and the solos and yeah, just to be struck with that. That's such an incredible feeling that, you know, it's hard to really chase that down again, but
have you ever been able to meet any of them old school dudes and ask them like what, like Barnes, like why did you start doing that? Like I've never been able to talk to those guys, and like you just grabbed a microphone one day and were just like what the fuck happened to you? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've gotten to speak with most of them, not Barnes, but yeah, I mean, I never really tried to ask him too many questions. I tried to just be like, it's cool to meet you. You're a huge influence, and let's just make jokes that
I like you,
because I feel like they appreciate not getting punished. So I always try to like joke about something that's not, you know, the band related, or not talk about the band, because that for me, I mean, it's not, doesn't mean that you shouldn't be able to ask questions like that, and I think it's important to, but for me, I just get a kick out of like bonding with somebody that I look up to. So it's like, I think that they'll enjoy it better if I'm just like, let's talk shit about this thing that's happening in the news, or like you know, the funny door at the venue that we're at. It's like, you know, just shoot the shit, and I get a lot more out of that, I think, just because it's like, man, that was really cool. I got to just hang out and shoot the shit with so-and-so and talk about World of Warcraft with George Fisher. You know, it's like cooler than being like, Fisher, what was it like recording on this microphone? And it's like, that stuff is important to me, but yeah, I want it like a really enthusiastic hangout. So.
Well, to continue my punishment, what was it like to record on that microphone?
I don't know. I'm sure it was like a piece of cake for him because he's an animal. I mean, well, that dude's like,
and I know, like, even for instance, like asking you to do something like this is probably like, well, fuck. But I, you know, it's important to get people, you know, to hear your story and to spread the word on these fucking people that I know. And I don't see you guys on a lot of podcasts, so I want to try to spread the word as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
But,
yeah, I mean, I do a radio show now, but it's like just playing other people's, you know, it's just like radio DJing. And I've often thought about just kind of either putting more talk in there, storytelling or whatever, or just doing like a shorter podcast. But
you should, because you're funny as fuck, dude. Important. You should. Thanks, I mean, you're fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I'm looking at trying to do more of that this year. But as for now, it's just about, I have like a local spot on a Richmond radio broadcast, and I do like Friday nights for about 2 hours, so I try to just do thematic shows, and you can listen to that stuff. It's on all on the internet. I have go under DJ Diehard, and so if you go to djdiehard.net, you can go listen to all that. They're all free to listen to, and I post them up as they come, but there's an archive of all the past shows. And then if you're ever in Richmond, you can just tune in on Friday nights. It's on the Bridge 103.3, and Friday nights 10 to midnight. Try to keep it enthusiastic, to say the least. I pretty much just me screaming between every song, being like, oh my God, like, ah, such a good song.
Do you stream them live then on the website?
They stream live from, so all the shows are pre-recorded at home, and then they'll play the recording on, you know, like it's broadcast live over the radio Friday nights.
Will you play Death as a Warm? Will you play Death as a Warm Cube for me?
What's that?
Will you play Death as a Warm Cube for me and dedicate it to me?
Yeah, sure, I'll do that.
Thank you. For appreciate sure. It
probably won't be this the first, but I will get to it on the I guess January 8th show.
That'd be awesome. And I gotta suck your dick here for a minute because it was, you know, I don't know when the first time I saw Battlemaster, or even if it was a show we played with you guys, but you know, I likened myself as a good performer and then a vocalist second. And then I watched you go and I went, fuck, like that's what you got to do. Like that's, it was like a landmark. I was like, I'd get on stage and I'd be like, be Andy Horn. No, I'm serious, dude. And I was like, and not, it's never a competition, but you want to be good. And I'm like, fuck, Horn's on the show. Well, I'm toast. Where did you get that kind of groove on stage, man? It's, you just fucking go.
Yeah, I try to just, you know, one of the big influences that I always kind of drew on was two dudes as far as live performances, and that's like Jello Biafra and Barney Greenway, and they both just have such an erratic, like, presence of almost like they don't even can't keep beat at all. Like, you're just convulsing, and they're just always moving, you know, whether you're just, like, bobbing up and down like a boxer or, you know, I don't know how else to describe it, but they're just like, you know, it's like they're getting charged up the entire time, and they stay charged like a runner, you know, at a stop sign, like waiting for the cars to pass. You know, you keep jogging the whole time, and I think that's important to just have nonstop energy the whole time.
Well, I think my favorite Horn move is the arm down by the side. I don't have my hair anymore, but it was the fucking side fucking headbang, just slightly. Yeah. That thing's sick, man. That is always a fucking pleasure to watch you play, man. And I.
Thanks. Yeah, you got to keep the shapes live. Well, you got to have good shapes because it's a show. You know, it's not a record. You gotta show them a good time. So.
And the bangs, dude. The bangs back in the day on the I forget what record, dude. I don't
know.
My
wife's a hairdresser, and she's always like, "We should cut bangs again." And it's like, man, have you seen how thin my hair got? I don't know if you cut it off, I'm gonna be. I think that might be the swan song for the long hair, buddy.
But I got drunk one night and grabbed my hair and cut bangs, and I was like, I'm gonna get fucking bangs, dude. And
That's what you gotta do.
My grandpa died a week later, so I went to the fucking funeral with these stupid fucking.
Yeah.
Oh, it was terrible, dude. I looked at my girl cousins. I was like, "Can you do anything with my?"
And they're like, "You're like your great uncle you haven't seen in years." It's like, "Are you doing okay, Cody?"
I'm like, "No, not really, bud."
Things are bad.
Things are not doing good, man.
Yeah.
So, how did you now? What were you doing over in Germany when you found all those records to start that deep dive?
Well, I was actually like thrown into growing up. My dad was big into Boy Scouts, so I actually did a ton of Boy Scout shit, and that was like the pinnacle of it all was getting that. You know, we used to sell some of them used to sell popcorn and shit, kind of like the Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, I was a Boy Scout.
Yeah, we did mulch. I don't know if you ever did mulch.
I never got to the mulch.
Oh man, we'd sell so much mulch, and I felt bad for those like. The adult leaders, because it was basically like you get your little like 12-year-old kid to go sell a bunch of mulch, and then who do you think is going to be delivering the mulch? These kids can't like carry, you know, 80-pound bags of mulch, or I guess they were like 40-pound bags. But then, without fail, every year the delivery day was like, you know, like let's all meet up in this parking lot, and we're going to divide up the routes, and you pick up the mulch that you sold and deliver it to different houses, and it's like every year it would rain. And just turn those 40-pound bags into 80-pound bags, and just like at that age, I could probably carry a couple bags for a couple hours. But like, let's be real, it was the parents that had to move these wet bags of mulch around. But we used to sell that shit like fire, and we had used it for other like trips, you know, to like film on other like scout camps and shit. And then we finally set our sights like really high, and we're like. Yeah, as a troop, do you want to get like a team of dudes together and like try to sell enough so that we can go to Switzerland.
Oh, and shit. We did. Wow.
Yeah, we got to like offset the trip and ended up being, you know, super cheap to be sent out there because of all the mulch that we sold. And I went to Switzerland for a while. And, of course, since we were over there, we did like a couple other touristy kind of things. Yeah, that was why I was over there. And it was just interesting because I got the CDs early on in the trip before we even went to the camp. And back then I was always rocking a Discman.
Oh, of course.
On the train rides and all that, you know, I just got to zone out and, you know, become at one with evil extreme metal.
Did you ever get the Walkman that had like the clamps on it so you could like throw it against the wall and it wouldn't skip?
No. No, that's not – oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. No, I've never had one that was that strong.
Dude, my –
I've had ones that were burning out.
My stepdad smoked Reds and, like, a fucking chimney. So he'd get, like, Marlboro Bucks or something like that. So every year or so, you'd get, like, a Marlboro Red coat you have to wear to fucking school. And everyone's like, fucking third grade Cody's wearing a Marlboro Red. But one year, he's like, hey, boys, check this out. Fucking yellow G-Shock fucking – CD player, dude.
G-Shock. Yeah.
And it was,
G-Shock,
dude, it was the shit. And I have two brothers, so it was like, all right, whoever wins the fist fight today gets the fucking nice CD player.
Because you can take that thing running or like, I mean, that thing can handle a couple shocks.
Oh, for sure, man. It blew your mind back then because CDs were fucking, if they skipped, you're just like, oh, damn it, like, and ruin your whole time.
It's like, man, my CD player on the shelf skips if it gets too loud. This thing I can run in. I can mow the lawn listening to it.
Do you have all your CDs still?
I have a lot of them, and I'm actually kind of thinking about thinning out that collection just because I never mess with it. But I've kept like a box of all the demos. I keep every single CD demo that I was given.
Yep.
And it's fun to looking through that. But I don't really see – you know, I go back and forth on like whether I really need to keep all these demos because you got to keep in mind there's some cool ones and stuff. And when I was in hard spots, I've sold cool ones. But for the most part, it's a lot of like there's probably like 30% are just like local bands that aren't even types of music that I like. It's just like I happen to be there for I've got some like weird indie rock CD demo. And it's like, that's cool. Yeah, it's my friend's girlfriend's brother plays keyboards in it or whatever. What, you know, and I still don't want to get rid of it. I want to keep it for the archive.
They were together for this recording and this recording only. I gave my little brother asked for all my CDs because he was going to put them on his hard drive or whatever. So it's like, okay, just don't get rid of them. And then, so I had all these demos too, like old Revolta fucking demos, Battlemaster fucking CDs that are like burnt and like handwritten by you guys, like all this crazy shit. And he gave it, he sold it all in a fucking garage sale.
Oh, damn.
All of it. I had like three boxes.
Can I borrow these?
Yeah. And then sold them. I was like, fuck, dude. And then I got to thinking, I was like, man, well, hopefully, because I never listened to the CDs. I had them all in my hard drive. I still have them on a hard drive somewhere. I was like, well, hopefully some kid or some dude saw a box because it was all fucking like Priest, Cannibal Corpse, you know, legit shit. So some dude probably saw those boxes and was like, $5, whatever, I'll buy all these. And so hopefully somebody got some listening out of it, I guess.
Yeah, at least and didn't just like resell it. And if they did, they liked the metal and knew what they were doing and not like just a total scab.
Yeah. Causing off it. There's sometimes, though, now I'll go, like, through the record collection, I'm like, fuck, I had that on CD, and I don't have that now, so now I can't fucking listen to it, but...
Yeah, it's funny, as CDs appear to be valuable now again, I don't know, but I don't know, I wouldn't even... I don't even feel like trying to sell any of the CDs, really, just because they... Like, how does grading even work with that? It's like, got a scratch on it, but it plays, on it. You know, it's...
50 cents, dude.
Yeah, some nerd on... You know, sending it halfway around the world to some nerd who's paying too much for it, and they're like, "Well, excuse me, there's this scratch." Which, you know, it's like, man, whatever. Don't send that shit back. You bought it.
Yeah, for sure. That's like I have two battle vests, and I was like, I want to sell one of them, but if I get online, you're gonna be like, "Well, this patch isn't the real official patch." I'm like, "Dude, fuck you. Either give me the $20, or so I'm just gonna keep it, and hopefully one of the kids want it, and I'll give it to you." You know what I mean?
I think that's a great idea.
That'll be cool. That'll be cooler that way.
Yeah,
definitely.
I agree with that.
Now, I wanted to ask you about the skeleton, which it was kind of like as far as like heavy metal goes, almost like TMZ shit, because Chance had gotten fired or whatever, but didn't know he was fired. And you got to go do the Euro tour. One, I fucking wish I could have seen that dude, man, because those guys rip ass. And I can only imagine you with them
great
was
musicians and cool music for sure.
I'm sure that tour was fucking sick, because I can only imagine you with those guys was a pretty lethal combination.
Oh, it was a blast. Yeah, I had a great time, and I think all the shows went really well. It was a really interesting tour. It was with Mortals and Goat Horror. Okay. And yeah, I mean, all the people were really nice, and the tour was great. A wonderful driver. The route was amazing. It was a lengthy one. And yeah, I mean, I didn't know that I still had never heard that Chance didn't know that he wasn't in the band anymore. But yeah, I think they just kind of hit me up with very little notice and were like, hey, can you do this? And then when can you come rehearse? And we did a couple rehearsals and then went on tour and yeah, had a good time.
Was it hard cramming, learning someone else's lyrics?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was difficult, but it was, you know, I mean,
it's a gig, just made man. It work. And it's a gig.
I think, you know, there was probably some nights where I messed up some of the lyrics, but overall, you know, I just tried to cram and make sure that I did the best I could. And I think it worked out well, and I think they were pretty happy with it too. So
did you ever, or did they ever consider you for joining full time, or was it a location thing?
Yeah, I do think that they basically were fishing around for like, hey, would you be interested in doing this? And, you know, at that point I was like, you know, there was kind of a stuff changing in my life too. And, I was like, that's really nice of you guys, but I don't think that I'd be, you know, in the position to really be there as much as you guys would need me to be. So,
cause at the time they were full bore.
What's that?
Because at the time they were full bore.
Yeah, they were full bore, but without, you know, they had lost their front person. And, you know, it would have been really cool to do it, but I think that I just wouldn't have been able to just dive fully immersed in that. I'd gotten a new job, and I was actually I stayed in Europe after that tour ended, and proposed to my wife, which I'd planned on doing before all this. And it was a nice, kind of like a nice end of the trip, like caveat. It was like, cool, you come meet me and we'll keep spending some time over here. And
boom, oh, sick.
Put a ring on it. And, yeah.
So she she took a vacation over there at the end of the tour?
Yeah, yeah. We played our last show and they were going to stay another day or two, the band. And so then the day after the last show, she flew out and met me. And she and I just spent like 2 or 3 weeks traveling through like Italy and Greece. And yeah, it was great. We got to finally spend, you know, it's really nice. It's always an amazing time touring in Europe, and I love it a lot, but I feel bad that never really get to do too much tourist stuff or, mm-hmm. or just spend time with friends that I've made over there. And we got to do exactly that, you know, go visit all the friends in Italy and have them show us around. It was really a cool trip. We got to see Angel Witch play and a little.
Damn!
Yeah, go to some really awesome restaurants. We got to see we were taken to in Florence. There's that band Death SS. The front man, Steve Sylvester, has like his own restaurant he's had for a while. But it's funny because they're such a frightening band. And, you know, they're like known to have this horrible curse, and they've been around since like the 70s. Steve Sylvester looks like he's super young, and his because he's vegan. Mm-hmm. And he runs like a vegan restaurant that looks super cute. I forgot what it's called, but it's like, looks like, you ever seen the Sweet Frog frozen yogurt places?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like cutesy, like pastel green and
light pink. Like pink. Yeah.
Yeah, it just looks like that. And it was called like Veggie World. And it's like, really? This is your restaurant? And he was like the dude behind the counter, like, hello, welcome to Veggie World. And it was like, whoa, this is so weird.
Dude,
not to mention you look 40 because you've been vegan your whole life.
Right. Never had processed food.
Just do fun things like that. And yeah, I mean, I told Skeleton Witch, hey, I'm going to be here. I'm doing this. I can't. I mean, I'll do it if you want, but I just want to let you know that I also have like this job that I'm not going to turn down for you guys. You know, I'm not going to be there 365. If you need me to fill in because you haven't found somebody that fits the bill yet, I'm happy to do that. But at this point, I don't think that we should be.
Yeah, and I got I had to ask the Skeleton Witch question because they're Ohio boys, you know. And the, and it was when we read that, dude, I was like, fuck yeah, that's awesome. I was like, God, I hope he joins. I hope he fucking joins. But, you know, there's things go different ways. But you romantic son of a bitch, you asked your wife to marry you in fucking Europe, dude? Like,
yeah. And hey, and to her defense, she was like, you should 100% join that band. And I had my own, like, little list of reasons. And I was like, yeah, sorry, man. But I mean, that's cool. Here's what I'm going to tell them. But, I love those dudes, and I thought they are really cool dudes, and I had a great time. But yeah, I didn't think that it was the right time for me to join. And but I'm still super elated about all the memories I have of that trip. It was great.
And the whole fucking chance thing, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus. I who knows if that's even true? That's just what I've heard. You know, it's all fucking hearsay at some point. And you know, you drink and you're a dickhead to your band members, you're gonna get fucking kicked out. That's the way she goes. So
I think there was definitely a lot of things involved with that where I think there's probably a lot more to the story, and I totally stand by the band, and I'm
for sure
they decide to keep it going, and the way they handled themselves and not like really try to smear them or anything.
Yeah.
They're classy dudes.
Well, it was like
and Nate and Leash, they're all amazing dudes.
Old Nate's a fucking goddamn sweetheart, man, and he's a road warrior. From what I hear, he drives the whole time and just
talk about learning mechanic work to keep your band vehicle going. He's like true blue van warlord.
Yeah,
he knows how to keep the war wagon alive.
Now, what's it? Is it hard touring overseas? Do the guys get their equipment? Are they able to take their guitars? That's the one thing I never got to do as far as like being an underground musician. I never got to go international.
I think overall it's relatively easy. There's logistic things that kind of get tedious. It really depends. You know, I've never really booked my own tour over there, so it's always been easy for me. But I'm sure the person that's kind of behind it, if you're doing it yourself, that can get a little stressful. But yeah, I mean, the way we've always done it is just bring breakables like drum pedals, snare, most likely snare, and cymbals, and then guitars. And that's about it. I mean, pedals and everything else, you know, you want to rent. It's just too expensive to be taking anything with you. And yeah, I mean, other than that, just, you know, we've always had great luck with drivers, been through several different companies, but we've always lucked out. We've never really had a ding-dong, which I guess can happen, you know, frequently, just like anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
You get lined up with somebody, it's just kind of a character. But, yeah, overall, I think that, you know, it's a blast. I love going over there. I can't wait till Americans aren't the dirty, non-traveling, you know, not able to travel types. Once the dust has settled from all the COVID stuff, I think there's still going to be some, you know, difficulty in trying to be like, hey, trying to come from America over to your country to play. It's like, yeah, we're good.
Yeah, we don't really go ahead and fuck off.
So, yeah.
So people are like, well, I'm going to Canada. I'm like, dude, they're not going to let you in. What the fuck are you talking about? You're going to Canada. They don't fucking want your ass.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
even
like, Before all this, it was difficult, you know.
Yeah,
we sort of fast charge. Good luck, you're not getting in.
Yeah, you cut drinking and driving, you're not getting over there. I mean, they're not playing fuck around with you. Fuck, I lost where I was at there, but holy shit, I completely lost my fucking mind. I had a question for you.
It's all
good. No, I got it. European crowds. Is it? Do you have to do that show differently? Or
European what? Sorry, you broke up. European what?
A European crowd. Do you have to play to them differently, or are you able to just go?
I don't. I think I see a lot of like bands play like they go over there and they're like do play a little bit differently. Like maybe their banter is a little like streamlined or
a little more soccer-ish. Like, hey, let me hear you go, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I mean just not like. I'm like a total weirdo with that stuff. I'll just like talk stream of thought and it doesn't always make sense and it might be funny, it might not, but like, you know, maybe like if English isn't your first language, maybe you should take that into consideration, but I don't at all.
Right.
And I think that a lot of people like to be like do the whole like rock star kind of thing, like come on, or like hey, hey,
yeah.
Hey, like, all that stuff's corny to me. I will pump my, you know, if I'm watching something that I like and they do that, I'll of course get into it, but I don't feel comfortable trying to lead something like that. That's, leave that for Abbath and,
yeah,
you know, like, you know, huge bands like that. I just don't dig on I find it to be kind of presumptuous.
I always felt like a dork, like, what am I, yeah. Like, all right, if they're going to have fun, they're going to have fun. But nobody's going to have more fun than me on this stage in this entire building, yeah, anyhow. So it's, at that point, it's either infectious or it's not, and you don't like my band. That's the way she goes.
Yeah, I feel like you got two paths. You can either get them going, like that route of being like, come on! Or you can just, like, get yourself going, and maybe that'll get them going too. And I definitely take that path. I, yeah, like to just – I feel like if I'm giving it everything I got, then hopefully something like – rubs off on somebody and they like see this dude kind of losing it. And they're like, whoa, I'm watching something right now.
I always like that quote from Almost Famous where he's like, I look for the one person in the crowd not getting off and I make him get off. And I was like, that's what I'm going to do, man. I was like, I'm going to look around, cruise around, and I was like, I'm going to find the person having the least amount of fun and I'm going to fucking party to them. Yeah. This show's for that, yeah, that guy. Here we go.
Turn it up.
Yeah.
Turn it up, buddy.
Turn it up, man. Now, with Loud Night, man, a lot of people I'm hearing on the streets, you're the new Lemmy Kilmister, man. You got the fucking,
oh, shucks.
You got
no
the
way.
You got it on you. You got the fucking style. You got the stash.
I'm becoming old enough.
Was that something you always wanted to do? Kind of get that instrument in front of you as well, and, you know, kind of eliminate just the front man persona.
Yeah, I mean, I always wanted to play bass in a band, or, you know, sing and play bass, and I've always been a huge Motorhead fan, big fan of punk music in general, and you know, this was kind of like we wanted, the goal kind of with Loud Night was, you know, it's myself and then three of some, my closest friends that had a band, Ramming Speed from
so,
Boston.
Who, it's Callan from Ramming Speed,
yeah, Callan, Jonah, and Ben.
Oh, mm-hmm. That, I mean, when you read that lineup, for anybody who knows their business, that's like, I'm gorging, dude. I got veins fucking pumping. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I was ecstatic about them when they moved down from Boston several years ago to Richmond. I mean, they've been here like
a long time,
like
now.
6 years, I guess. Yeah, at least probably 6 years. But anyway, we bought a house in the north side of the city, and then shortly after, Jonah bought a house like two doors down, and I was like, oh snap, this is definitely like, now we're gonna do it. And they're, Ramming Speed had kind of like slowed down to a halt, and I was like, all right, man, we got, you know, this is it. This is the sign. We got to get this band going. And he's like, yeah, can we just like make it easy though, so that we can get trashed and still play and like not screw up? I was like, 100%.
Yes. Yes.
Beer too, and not worry about some sort of technical, you know.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. So that, you know, we just wanted to have like a ripping punk metal band, and that we were able to still facilitate playing the songs, and that's, we're still working on it, still trying to learn how to play the songs.
It kind of goes back to like your brother listening to fucking pumping weights in his room. It's kind of that kind of music, dude, that you know, you're got some dumbbells in the garage, fucking put on Loud Night, crush some beers.
I hope we freak out a little kid, freak him into being into metal and extreme music. I'm not sure if we're there yet. I still want to, you know, still want to get it a little meaner, but we can put some more gasoline in it.
Oh, it's fucking fun, man. That record is really, really, it, when I listen to it, it's fun. And maybe it's because I know you guys too, where I'm like, it's just, you know, people I consider friends just partying, and it comes off that way.
Well, we're trying to, like, you know, we're trying to have a good time, but also, like, you know, there's definitely no shortage of fucked up things happening in the world. So I feel like it's due diligence to actually have like a kind of a angle. You know, it's a good outlet to be able to try to explain to people where you're coming from, what your opinion on certain shit is, because a lot of people don't want to, they want to be kind of ambiguous about their political stance or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really does a disservice to people, you know, listening to a traditionally political sector of music, you know.
Yeah, that's
whether
a good,
like,
point,
old school,
man.
Old school death metal, punk, hardcore, you know, like, that's stuff that is supposed to, you're, it's supposed to be thinking person's music, not just like, oh, we prefer to like leave it out of there. Like, I don't know. It's almost like, no, we're okay with like Nazis listening to our music. We're, you know, that's between them and Hitler. You know, it's like, fucked.
Nazis get fucked, man.
It's all about Satan all day long and not, like, never address the elephant in the room. But I don't think that that's the that was never the plan with Loud Night. I think, it's pretty important to be clear with people and hopefully, like, you know, open up some people's minds to certain things they probably didn't think about, you know?
So you don't mind grabbing the bull by the horns in that aspect and just doing it?
No. And that, I think that that's, like, going to be a huge thing too with, like, when shows finally become, like, safe and available again. You know, it's, that line is going to be a little, a lot more clear, you know, in the room where it's like, well, I know this, you know, it seems generally a nice guy, this, you know, character that comes to shows or whatever, whoever person X is. But now, you know, it's, I've been had a year to just see them online be like, COVID's a conspiracy, like Donald Trump is cool. Like, it's like, dude, I don't need to be quiet anymore. Once shows start again and you show up, I'm going to be like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Is there a lot of that in Richmond? Because from my experience there, it seemed like a very wacky place, which was shocking to me because, you know, coming from Ohio, you just hear about the South. And you go to the South, and when we went to Richmond, I was like, it's all fucking musicians and artists and then basketball players from fucking Virginia Commonwealth.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and generally speaking, I feel like, you know, cities are always going to be a little more liberal and then rural areas, which, you know, the two have they have like a symbiotic relationship. So, you know, it's like people from the city got to go outside and people from outside the city got to come in. And,
yeah.
You know, it's important, you know, not to say that everybody outside of the city is like more conservative or city is more liberal, but like, you know, there's always exceptions to that. But generally speaking, you know, it's just two different lifestyles that are obviously going to bring different opinions and viewpoints and walks of life. And I think just in general, Richmond is the city itself is fairly liberal and forward thinking. But, yeah, I mean, we're, like, in the center of the state of Virginia. So
right.
There's definitely no – I'm sure there's plenty of Ku Klux Klan activity still out there. There's definitely Nazis in Virginia. You know, there's all sorts of just bullshit that I think needs to be not just skirted anymore, you know. Because over the past 4 years, people like that have certainly felt more emblazoned and given the right to like come out and be more forward about who they are and what they believe. And it's like, cool. You want to be like, you want to fly your flag? Like fuck your flag. I'm going to address that. You know,
was Richmond the place where they all showed up for the Second Amendment and everyone, all types of life showed up and they showed up with guns. And I swear to God, it was, I don't know if it was Richmond, but it was Virginia. And it actually ended up being a positive thing.
Charlottesville.
Was it Charlottesville?
Charlottesville, yeah, where the girl got hit by the car. The dude drove the car into the group of protesters. It was supposed to be like a white pride rally, and it just got met with opposing protesters. But Charlottesville kind of set the stage for that, and like Proud Boys and all that garbage. And then we had our fair share of protesters in the George Floyd death and everything that resulted out of that, like the resurgence of like a really strong Black Lives Matter presence. And, you know, we have a lot of history there, but like a lot of statues that are in like really, in the heart of the city everywhere. There's Monument Avenue is just full of Confederate war statues. So there's a lot of people that lived under them that are obviously and rightfully upset about that. And I think that our city did like a really good job of trying to bring that conversation at the forefront. And to address it, of course, politicians are basically going to do whatever, you know, they think they can get by making everybody happy, especially as long as the money's coming in. So they got rid of the statues, but didn't really do anything that does anything besides get rid of the statues. Just a bunch of handshakes and smiles and bullshit speeches. But so not really anything is in, like there haven't been major changes made legally, but the statues have come down and Richmond is they're still at it. We're trying to be vocal here and make things change, but it's obviously a broken process.
That Richmond is a freaky place, And it's like a freak magnet. But there's been so much as far as like heavy music goes. Mm-hmm. You guys are like a epicenter for it. Like, you know, going back to Gwar to, you know, Lamb of God to you guys, and then Ramming Speed guys moving down there, you know, Battlemaster, Inner Armor guys, all these successful underground, some of them out of the underground with Gwar, Lamb of God, these massive heavy metal bands coming from one place. What would you attribute that to?
I don't know. One of the big things is we're right where Richmond's right where 95 and 64 meet. So you got those two major interstates. That's helpful. Richmond's also had a big art school. Like, for instance, Gwar was like an art. It started as an art project at VCU, which is where Richmond is.
And so is VCU an art school?
Yeah, it used to be primarily an art school. Now it's like they're kind of shifting the focus to like business and engineering. But it's always had a tremendous art program. And that's, you know, Gwar started that way. And that's what brought me down there. As I wanted to go to art school. And
did you, go to VCU?
There's a good art school, there's freaks, you know?
Yeah. Did you go to VCU?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I went there for like 3 years and then just was like, this isn't fitting into my pot smoking and going on tour schedule.
I only knew that school from Ben Wallace, who played for the Detroit Pistons, went to that way back in the day. So like, just from being like a sports nerd, I was like, oh, Ben. Yeah. So when we were there, I think we were like walking around the streets and we're like, well, there's a thing for VCU. I was like, holy shit, Virginia Commonwealth. I didn't know that was here.
Yeah. They don't have a football team, but they have a pretty good basketball team.
Yeah.
And they used to – I don't know the status of the hockey team now, but they used to have a hockey team.
Bringing it back around. Bringing it back around.
But the hockey team used to have a house that they all lived at, and they would have house shows all the time. And I can't remember some of the punk bands that played, but there was one VCU hockey metal band.
No shit, dude.
Battlemaster's guitarist Brady was in it. And he plays hockey still actively, but, you know, some of my old pals from high school were in this, and it was all VCU hockey players or alumni hockey players, and they were a power metal band, and they were called Dragon Ship, and it was like sick, like sword and sorcery heavy metal, all hockey dudes. It was super weird. And
this is my favorite thing of all time.
They were into the fact that their buddies had a band, but none of them were like power metal dudes except for the band, you know, and they knew what they were doing, and they had a killer sound. They were great players, awesome live show.
Do you remember their name?
Yeah, the band was called Dragon Ship.
Dragon Ship. God damn it. Do they have recordings anywhere?
Yeah. I think there's two demos out, or actually I think Set Sail might be the full length album. But yeah, I mean, they used to pull cool ass moves too. Like one time at the hockey house, it's a house show. So they're playing like in a living room that can fit, like, if you're packed in like sardines, it could fit like 70 people. They like kept everybody waiting. It was supposed to be at like 8 and they showed up at like 11 in a limo.
What the fuck?
All the gear was already on standby and like, yeah, I mean, it was a classy move, you know, like have a kegger and make everybody wait till they're trashed and then show up in the limo. Super cool.
Is there a lot of good house shows down there in Richmond too?
There used to be, and I think that there still are. I'm a little out of the loop. Obviously, 2020 hasn't really had any house shows.
I guess I'd have to say before 2020.
Yeah. There were awesome house shows going on. I feel bad that I was not as integrally integrated into that scene as I was, you know, 8 years ago. But it's still very much going on.
Hey.
Lab Night plays house shows fairly frequently. Battlemaster has once or twice in the past couple of years. But prior to that, like in like from 2004 to 2012, there's like nonstop house shows, like every night, awesome ones, great house show venues that just lasted forever and never got shut down. And I feel really lucky that that was, you know, the salad days for me was the nonstop house shows. But I have a little.
You're an old married dog, dude. You're an old married dog.
Trying to learn a new trick, but it's hard.
Buddy,
it's hard.
Trust me, I understand. Ronnie will be like, hey, do you want to come down and see fucking, you know, Sewer Toe or something at the butt fuck house? And I'm like, dude, there's no chance in fuck I could do that. It's just It can't.
Where does Slappy and JoJo live? I don't even know.
Thanks for the invitation, but there's not a chance I can do that.
Turd House? I've never heard of Turd House.
Yeah. Do they have a babysitting room? Is there a daycare there? Yeah.
I'm like on the computer, like, dear Turd House, what's your address? Not a cop.
Dude, well, I got to talk to you about, you were there in Tampa when I was given the news of my first son being born, which would have been
I remember
2009. I've been able to thank you before in person, but I want to do it again because I was shaken by it, man. I was, you know, on tour with $30 and a Red Lobster gift card, selling T-shirts for Lacusta. Mm-hmm. And I get that news, and it was crazy. It was hard, man. And you were one of the guys who took me aside and said thank you, or not thank you, but, you know, it's going to be all right. You're a good guy. And I've always thought about that, man. And I really do appreciate those words, and it made me feel good. And everyone was so cool about me leaving that it made me feel like, hey, you're doing the right thing. Get home, make some money, you know.
100%, yeah.
The only thing that pissed me off is I heard you guys went to Red Lobster on that tour, and I fucking had a Red Lobster gift certificate in my fucking wallet, dude.
Sorry, yeah. I mean, I wish, you know, retrospectively, I wish I could have just bought that off you at a
I would have gave it to you.
No, but that's always been a big thing is, you know, we used to be like, we would judge our merch night. We'd be like, how'd we do? And be like, well, looks like we're either getting a, you know, $55 breakfast at Denny's, or, you know, at the end of the tour, we'd be like, all right, fellas, looks like we can afford a $229 Red Lobster dollar dinner.
But, well, dude,
Denny's and Red Lobster.
When we left for that tour, my mom was like, hey, do you want a Red Lobster gift card? And I said, Mom, there's no fucking chance we're able to go to a Red Lobster. And, like, I can't just make all the other dudes go to Red Lobster. So I took it, though. You know, I'm not going to turn down a fucking Red Lobster gift card.
Free money, yeah. That's at least a tail and some cheese biscuits.
I took a 38-hour bus ride home from Tampa to Ohio. Damn. And I remember talking to Brad at some bus station. He was like, we went to fucking Red Lobster last night. Or the Battlemaster guys went to Red Lobster. I was like, you motherfuckers, dude.
Yeah.
So
wow.
Then my first daughter was born, and we're on the way to the fucking hospital, and my wife has on the old school Cannabis Corpse bong ripper sweatpants, dude. So
the
doctors got to see those before they were promptly ripped off and a baby was born almost in the parking lot. But
that's cool.
Yeah, man. So half of my kids are around you, dude. That's pretty cool, man.
Oh, well, that really makes me feel good, and I really appreciate the kind words you had to say about the Tampa talk. I mean, it's, you know, from what I understand, I'm not a father myself, but it's pretty much like you just get thrown into it. Nobody's ever ready, so you just need pals around to remind you, because it's definitely a formidable idea getting thrown at you when it happens. So, I always thought that you do an awesome job, and that was an admirable move to just that 38-hour bus ride. I think I would have gone nuts just having that much time to think about it. But
yeah, that was probably the worst part. I had a bag of dried cranberries for the whole ride. I had to call my brother, who just got back from Iraq, and like, hey, you got to send me $150. I need a bus ticket. He's like, what the fuck, dude? And he was cool about it. He gave me the money. Never even made me pay him back, actually. But I knew you guys, but I didn't know you guys that well. So it was nice, and I do appreciate you taking me aside, and just you helped out a lot, man. You really set me in a good place for a 38-hour bus ride. You know, I needed it, man. I needed it.
I think it's important to just be there for your pals. So yeah, no problem. Of course.
Before we get off of here, dude, I want to say again, as far as 2020, thank you for making music and putting it out for everybody. Loud Night was incredible. Battlemaster, this is one of my favorite things about Battlemaster is it is power metal, but it'll put some hair on your chest, dude. And I don't think there's a lot of bands that are doing that the way you guys do with the technicality of that band is crazy. The fucking, those guys shred, man. And it's just so fun, dude. Thanks for putting out fun music. And just doing the goddamn thing, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, nothing makes me happier. And thanks for the kind words. I mean, that's pretty much the impetus behind it is loving music ourselves, but also just like that as long as people want to listen to it, that's going to give us plenty of juice to keep making it. So thank you so much for having me on the show and asking all the right questions and just, you know, having a good time. It's nice just chit-chatting with you. It's nice to catch up.
Absolutely. I probably haven't seen – I don't know when the last time was. I want to say it was Carabar. Fuck.
Might have been.
2000.
Before it closed down.
Yeah, it might have been the last night Carabar was open maybe. I don't know. We did Shots of Makers, Mark, you and I. It was the first time I'd seen you since the boy was born, so you were prompted – you know, spend some money, get me a shot. Just a class act over there, man.
We never rendezvoused at Lexington at like Blood of the Wolf Fest or something. Maybe.
No, fuck. Yeah, we played the second one. Were you guys there?
Either that or the first and third one.
So I went to the first one, so I saw you guys there. So that was probably one of the last.
Maybe,
times.
Yeah.
But again, man, it's always a pleasure to talk to you and fucking get you on here. I got a few fan questions here.
Yeah, sure.
Before we get off, so the first one is, what are you afraid of?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not really afraid of anything, but I guess one thing that I think about a lot that I'm not afraid of it, but I think about it a lot and it prevents me from going further is how vast the ocean is.
No, dude, so fuck you. No.
Yeah. I don't like swimming past the breaker. I don't think I'll ever really be much of a surfer. My wife's cool with the surfing and going far out, but it's like, what is out there?
That's she so goes surfing?
Stuff. Yeah.
Dude, she's gnarly.
Yeah, I can't. It's like, dude, I don't know what's out there, man. There could be Cthulian
everything
creatures,
is.
Tentacles, like whatever.
My goal when I go to the ocean every time is I swim out until I can touch the bottom of the sand and put my hands above my head and the water's above my head. I'm 6'5", so it's pretty deep. It's like 8 foot, but that's enough ocean for me, man.
Yeah.
That's
I don't fuck with the riptide.
This question comes in and it is when did you realize that you were a heavy metal god?
Probably in some sort of, I think the combination was, about 5 grams of magic mushrooms and maybe my third or fourth with it. probably like when I was like 21, that's probably when it first popped into my mind.
Was it awakening? Like, dude, you must get a microphone, get up on stage, do it.
Yeah. If you sing it, they will come.
They will come. Literally. C-U-M.
No gods, no masters, no heroes.
Bullshit, dude. And here, dude, I swear to God, I'm going to suck your dick one last time, Andy. As far as heavy metal frontman performances and vocalists, for my money, it goes you, Barnes, and J.R. Hayes from Pig Destroyer, dude. You guys are my absolute jam, man. So it's always been a pleasure to share the stage with you, and I appreciate it, man. I really appreciate taking the time for this, too.
Always good playing with you and your crew. All you Columbus guys are the best, most beastly best.
Last question. What is your personal favorite record that you've been a part of? From writing, recording, putting out, the whole shabam.
Huh. Yeah, that's a good question. I think that probably this newest Battlemaster record that's coming out after Ghastly Grave and Grim Wireless. It's we're in the midst of it and we're almost done mixing it, and it's been an interesting process, but an amazing one. You know, we're doing a lot of it remotely, and I just think that it's going to be a sick one, and I guess that would answer the question.
When can we expect this one?
I think that maybe hopefully in like somewhere between February and April of 2021.
Goddamn, we have a 10-year gap, and then you put out two back-to-back years?
Yeah, we're like, man, should we just rush it and try to have two in 1 year, like pull a Motorhead move?
Fuck yeah.
And we're like, no, let's not rush that, but like we can do that same move like in 2021. So hopefully we get this one out at the beginning of the year and, you know, crank out another good one by the end of the year.
Hell yeah, man. And one last thank you to you. When we were in Richmond, it might even have been Lacusta, I was not even on tour. I was just selling shirts, merch. But you showed me Agents of Steel, and you saved my life on that one, brother. It was fun.
Masters of Metal, Agents of Steel. Dude. Yeah, Agents of Steel rules.
It was,
and that's like one of my favorite bands is going from Agents of Steel. Kurt Cofield became Kurt Kilfield and started Holy Terror. And yeah, if you haven't messed with Holy Terror or Agents of Steel, both bands are super rippers, great speed metal classics.
So I need to fuck around with Holy Steel?
Holy Terror.
Holy Terror. I'll get into that, man, because...
Yeah, Mind Wars and Terror and Submission are the two albums. They're perfection.
And what was the other one? Sacred Steel.
Oh, yeah. At the beginning of the show, I was mentioning Sacred Steel. That's like a German power metal band that's... It is like real deal sword and sorcery. It's really fast. It's awesome. Vocalist, I think, is maybe an acquired taste, but I think it's well worth checking out.
Sacred like Witchcross-esque or...
No, like really nasal, like if you had, like, if it was like super fast, almost like Manila Road,
okay.
But more nasally. I mean, this guy has like quite a distinct voice.
Hell yeah, man. Good. That's awesome, dude. I appreciate you, appreciate your time, and thanks for always pushing the boundaries of heavy metal, you know, picking up a bass, changing your vocals, doing fun stuff, and changing the world, dude. I really love it, man. Let everybody know where you're at.
What's that?
Let everybody know where they can find the bands online and social media.
So Loud Night and Battlemaster both have Bandcamp accounts. You can both listen to both of those bands on Spotify too, or wherever you get your music. But we usually have T-shirts and vinyl and whatnot for sale through our Bandcamp pages. DJDieHard.net if you want to ever listen to my radio show. It's called A Buried Chrome Companion. And that's on Instagram and Facebook, like the bands are. And neither can confirm nor deny if I have any affiliation with this mysterious new band called Cross Splitter.
I've heard about Cross Splitter.
Yeah, check out Cross Splitter if you like maniacal death metal.
Pure grim.
What else? Oh yeah, hockey podcast. I figured I'd end it on one of the, like, I don't know shit about hockey, but. I guess I'll just leave it with one thing I know about is Richard Zednik.
Okay.
The past of Zednik. So, yeah, that's something I had read about. And I was like, I'll just name drop Richard Zednik for like a death metal. At the horrifying metal reference at the end here.
Absolutely. Hey, and congratulations on getting married too, man. I don't think I got to tell you in person, so I'll tell you over Zoom. Congratulations on being married, man. I'm happy for you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And, yeah, I can't wait to talk to you again.
All right, love you, buddy.
You too. Bye-bye.